Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have another segment of Check in the Inbox, where we answer your questions about car rides, toddler meltdowns, sex after kids, and more. And we wrap it up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get started. Hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 185. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Shauna.
How are you guys doing? What's your check-in?
So, my voice continues to improve. I don't know. Is it?
Maybe this is just the new you.
Sorry.
It's not that bad.
Well, it's fine talking, but the sad part is trying to sing. That's when I'm like, Baba Black Sheep.
Oh, God.
Any wool? See?
Well, luckily, we don't have a singing podcast, so you're in the clear.
So anyway, okay, check in. Okay, so I felt bad that last week I had like no check in for my baby Sebastian, who is 10 months old right now. So I just wanted to start with my check ins for him. And I think part of the reason that I don't have like big news for him is he's doing cute baby stuff and just kind of like doing his baby thing. Like it's nothing dramatic. It's nothing too hard. He's just being a super cute baby. But here's some super cute baby things he's doing. One is that he is so fucking close to walking, Shauna.
Oh, yeah.
Like so close. Like, or maybe he's walking. I don't know. It kind of depends on how you define it. Like, he has taken like a step between the ottoman and the couch, you know, like one independent step. But I don't feel like it's walking yet, you know. He's kind of like using his momentum to like project himself between two surfaces that he can land on. But he is really close, and like, if he's holding on to something, he like doesn't notice that he's standing for a couple seconds and stuff. So, yeah, he's getting very close to walking, which is exciting and adorable. And also, like, don't grow up so fast.
Oh, I know.
But so that's fun and exciting. And the other exciting thing is that his little language skills are really taking off right now. He's starting to really like say words, and by say words I mean we hear them as words, but maybe no one else hears them as words. I'm not sure. You know how it is with kids. It's like you understand them, but like I don't know if anyone else understands them. So like some examples of this are when he's done with anything, like whether it's food or playing, he starts doing like the hand waving all done sign, right? But lately he's been adding on what sounds to me like all done, and I think sounds to everyone else is kind of like this. He goes ada ada, but like it's very clear to me because he doesn't just walk around going ada ada all the rest of the time,
right?
You know, he babbles in different ways the rest of the time. And then when he's like either out of food or like just done with his meal, he goes, atta, atta, and starts waving his hand.
Yeah, that sounds legit.
Yeah. So I think he's saying all done. And he also just very clearly to me says cat, but he kind of does it in like two parts. So he'll see Magnus or Cal, our two cats, walk by, and he gets real excited because he's really into these cats and they are medium into him. Like, Magnus is sweet and old, and he just sort of sits there and takes abuse. But Cal is young and feisty and will not take abuse. But they don't like save themselves and move out of his way. So, like, you know, one of them will walk up, and Sebastian will just look over and he goes, cat, cat, like in two parts. And it's like, yeah, that is clearly cat. And again, he's not doing that all the time. It's just when he sees the cat. So,
right.
I actually do have a recording of the cat sound.
Oh,
do you want to see
okay.
if what you think of it?
Yeah.
Who's that? Okay, let's be gentle with Magnus. Let's be gentle. Can you say cat?
Cat.
Yeah, cat. Please don't pull the cat's tail. He's a nice old man. I know. Are you frustrated that I'm not letting you to pull his tail? That is it. What did you think?
Well, yeah, totally. He repeated cat.
All right. So there you go. And he will say it without me prompting. But, you know, when you bring out the freaking voice memo, these kids stop talking.
Yes. Yes. They need prompting.
Okay. So I'm glad you heard that. And now I'm going to play for you the one that I am most excited by that has been happening a lot lately. And I just, I'm tickled pink by it, and you'll see why.
You want the phone?
So that was from when I really had no voice, as you can hear. But did you hear that? What was he saying?
Mama.
Mama. So much mama.
Oh, that's the best.
Yes. So, and he does say dada too, I should say.
Yes.
Equal opportunity, but I didn't record that because I like the mama.
Yeah. Mama.
Yeah.
Aw, that's great.
So anyway, yeah, the baby is being super cute and saying all kinds of fun things. And I just wanted to play some of those voice memos. And so I just wanted to share some of that. And you know what? Last week, I kind of didn't have a check-in for the baby. And this week, I just kind of don't really have a check-in for Augie.
Okay.
Things are just smooth sailing. And I think we should move on to your check-in because I just want to hear what's going on with you guys and your new three-year-old. What's going on with your pseudo preschooler?
Yes, I have a big three-year-old now, which really hasn't changed much because, you know, she's only just a couple days older than she was last week. But the big thing that happened this week, well, actually, there are a few things that happened this week. First is that she went to her three-year checkup, wellness checkup with her pediatrician. And it went fine. Like, they did her little vision test like they always do, and she didn't even need any vaccinations or anything. But when the doctor was like, do you have any concerns or thoughts or anything, like I have for the last two visits since she was two, right? I've had this gut instinct that she is not developing verbally like I would have expected. And I mentioned on the show before, I brought it up with her the last couple times. And she's like, yeah, well, you know, sometimes it takes a while and they get their letters and everything as they get older. And I just still feel like Cece is difficult to understand. Mm-hmm. She talks a lot. Like, that's not the problem.
The volume isn't the problem.
The volume certainly isn't the problem.
Or I guess the quantity and volume.
Yes. Not a problem at all. But I think she's difficult to understand. I've kind of gotten to the point where I speak her language so I can understand a lot of what she says, especially based on context. But if other people are talking to her, like when we video with Nana and Pop Pop and stuff, they're just basically like, what? Oh, okay. And I have to interpret and, you know, it's just hard to understand her. And I checked in about that again. I was like, I really think, you know, she's still difficult to understand. And she's like, okay, why don't we send you to a speech assessment with a speech language pathologist? And then she's like, have you ever thought maybe she has trouble with her hearing?
Huh.
And I'm like, you know, I have wondered because I know that that could be a reason for a speech impairment.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a previous pediatrician visit, she had so much wax in her ears, they had to do like this crazy procedure to get it out, right? So like maybe she has a lot of wax in there, or she screams so dang loud, maybe she injured her own eardrum. I don't know. I'm like, maybe.
Yeah.
So she's like, well, let's send you for a hearing test too. And I'm like, okay, yep, here we go. And just by luck, like I happened to get appointments for both of these things this week, like right after this appointment, because there were like cancellations or something, which was really like lucky because the lady was like, do you want to take this appointment? There's a cancellation. I'm like, well, when's the next available? She's like, well, I'm going through March, April. I'm like, okay, just give it to me tomorrow. I'll make it work. So I took the day off to take her to her speech appointment and her hearing appointment, which were like complete opposite sides of town. Like one was in Calabasas, one was in Westwood at UCLA. Yeah. So it was like a huge day for us, but she was excited. She was into it. And so we went and got her speech assessment done this week.
Okay. So I'm dying to hear how that went.
Yeah. So we went there and met with the pathologist. She was really nice. And we basically sat on a mat on the floor in the exam room. And it's like a colorful mat. And she brought out some toys that were meant to like stimulate conversation with the with Cece. And Cece was pretty nervous at first and wanted to sit on my lap. But once she got into it and like talking to the therapist, she was, as she usually is, like very chatty. She warmed up really quickly and was like answering all her questions. And then after that toy thing, she brought out like this flip chart of pictures. And the idea was that the therapist would ask, like, what's this a picture of? And she would answer. Yeah. And based on her answer, she would take notes on like how she pronounced words and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so she did a bunch of those. And at a certain point, the therapist was like, well, okay, we're going to stop here because all the rest of the sounds are more advanced than a three-year-old anyway. So it's pointless. I got what I need. And she's like, yeah, she definitely does not have a grasp on the consonant sounds that a three-year-old should master, which are the sounds you make at the front of your mouth, right? So like B, D, T, P, those sounds, which are really easy. And the funny thing is she can say them, but she just doesn't. Like she mixes them up all the time, especially at the beginning of words. So like monkey, she would say like nunky. And like ball, she said doll, right? And I was like, oh yeah, like she just had her birthday, right? And like the whole time we were talking about that, it's like dirt day is how she's saying it. So it's like close enough that I can understand her because she's just said it so much, but like I don't want her to stick with these patterns and I want her to be understood easily when she goes to school and everything by her friends. And basically, the speech therapist was like, I think she has a significant impairment, and I think that she would benefit from speech therapy. Like, And the nice thing is she's like, she has a higher than average vocabulary for her age. And obviously, talking is not a problem for her. Like, she's got the receptive language, right? She understands everything. She has the expressive language. She talks and says stuff, but it's the articulation that's the problem. And I was like, okay, great. Like, can we start therapy with you? She's like, well, that'll be like a 6-month wait for anyone here at our clinic. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? What? So she's like, yeah, you got to try to find someone else, you know, in the area to work with. So I've been trying to find someone. So that's my journey there. Like, I'm on the hunt for a therapist that we can start working with. But it's in the plan now. I really want to get her into that. And seeing how receptive she was during the assessment makes me really hopeful. I think she's going to be really receptive to it. I think she's going to enjoy it. And I think it's going to help her a lot.
Yeah, because it sounds like it's not a cognition issue. It's not even like a physical issue. It's just like she's just got to be like instructed to use her tongue the right way issue, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because the funny thing is like when a picture of a hammer came up, she was like, hammer. And so the therapist was like, she says M's just fine. But like when it's the beginning of the word, when it was monkey, she didn't do it. She said nunky. So I was like, well, why? Why has she done this? Yeah. And of course, I was super paranoid that this was my fault, right? Because we've been living through a pandemic. She's watching hours of TV. She hasn't been in preschool. And this is kind of like one of my big worries. And I just put it out there for the therapist. I was like, is this because she's watches screen time, hasn't, you know, been in school, et cetera. And she was like, no. You know, usually they have something biological, like a hearing impairment, which we were scheduled to go test her hearing later that day.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe there's something structurally with her mouth, her tongue, et cetera, that might be causing the problem. And she looked at that stuff and was like, no, everything looks fine. And she's like, it could just be that she's, you know, figured out that some words are easier to say a certain way. And she latched onto it. She's like, but what it isn't is your fault. 100%. She's like, it's not that she's not in school. When she gets in school, it'll probably help because she'll be around other kids, you know, and practicing more and hearing them talk and seeing them talk and stuff. But she's like, no, it's not screen time. It's not lack of school. It's literally nothing you did. So no mom shame. And I was just like, thank you. Thank you. That made me feel super relieved.
Yeah, I bet that was a huge relief because I know that we all try to like talk a big talk about like we know things aren't our fault. But like it's hard to not internalize things that are going on with your kids as being like things you could have done better.
Absolutely. Especially because Cece's upbringing is different and unique compared to Elle's, right? Because of mm-hmm. the circumstances and the pandemic, and I am doing things completely different with her than I did with Elle. So I'm like, well, that must be the reason she's, you know, got this situation. So, yeah.
Well, that's good to hear. And so you said you had a hearing test scheduled for later that day?
Yes.
Well, that's convenient. So what happened then?
So later that day, we went to all the way to the other side of town for her hearing assessment, which was very interesting. I've never been to an audiologist before. And you go down the hallway and all of the like exam or test rooms are these completely soundproof booths.
Mm-hmm.
So we went into the booth and the doctor closed the door behind us and it was just like poof, like all the air and sound just poof. Left the room and it was dead silent. It was amazing.
Were you like, man, I need this for the podcast?
Yes. Oh, yeah, definitely. I was like, oh, my God, if only we could have something like this. Oh, it seemed very high tech, though. Not really in my budget right now. So that was really interesting. That was also set up for pediatric exams. There were like some toys and a little kid's mm-hmm. table and stuff. But Cece wanted to sit on my lap because she was nervous. She's like, that's fine. And the doctor put in like little earbuds into her uh-huh. ears with like little earplug kind of like, you know, material so it could stick in her ears. And then the doctor went to the other room and there was like a window we could see. So she was doing stuff and talking to Cece through the window and telling mm-hmm. her stuff. And like stuff was flashing on TVs around the room. I didn't know what the hell was going on. And occasionally Cece would like look around and look at the different TVs. And I was just like, what is that about? And she came back and she's like, well, that didn't really work for her so much. I think she's a little too old for this test. I guess that one is more for babies. So she's like, I gotta think of a different test. Like, okay. So she like looks through this toy box and brings out this toy with like pegs and rings, like all these different mm-hmm. colored rings. And she was like, okay, here's what I want you to do. When you hear a birdie chirping, put a ring on a peg. And so we practiced that several times, uh-huh. like tweet, 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 and put it on the peg. And so she got the hang of the game and everything. So we put the earplugs back in her ears and the doctor went to the other room and I guess started playing birds in her earplugs.
Uh-huh.
And every now and again, Cece would pick up a ring and put it on a peg and pick up another one and put it on. Like she did like 15 of these little rings uh-huh. on the peg. And of course, I'm like so nervous. I'm like, oh, my gosh, is this like, is it going OK? I don't know. And the doctor came back in and was like, well, she's got totally normal hearing. Everything is just great. And she passed with flying colors. I was like, okay, good. Yeah. Like, obviously, if she had a hearing problem, that's fine. We would have dealt with it and figured things out. But also, I'm glad that she doesn't.
Yeah.
So that is not why she has a speech impairment. I guess she just, I don't know, just decided she wants to say things her way.
Well, it's good that you ruled that out. And I'm glad that you don't have to face that additional hurdle.
Yeah.
Okay. So now I have questions. Mm-hmm. So actually, I just have one question, which is like, how do you feel about this? Because I feel like you have been talking about this for so long and so many people have told you like, don't worry about it, stop worrying about it. And mm-hmm. now you're like, hello.
I know. Of course I feel vindicated. I'm like, yeah. I knew it. It's definitely that thing where sometimes people tell moms, follow your instinct, like mm-hmm. go with your gut, because a lot of times it's right. I mean, I've definitely had a gut feeling about this, but I have second guessed myself a lot because of what people have said. And also because Elle was so verbally precocious. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's more like Augie, right? She just had a huge vocabulary, talking nonstop, perfectly clear, et cetera, at a young age. And so I was like, well, maybe I'm just not being fair to Cece. I'm just comparing her to someone who is advanced. And mm-hmm. I asked that to the speech language pathologist. I'm like, I don't know if I'm just being paranoid and comparing her or if she really has an issue. And, you know, it turns out she does. So I'm really glad that I did this and that we can start getting her some help. I don't know that I feel bad that we didn't do it earlier. I think it is what it is, right? Like, I think getting her some help now is going to be totally fine. I feel really happy that the assessment was like, she talks a lot and she has a great vocabulary. You know, like that, I think, is the stuff that would mm-hmm. make me feel like sadder or more worried if she were having trouble expressing herself. She doesn't. She's just like the pronunciation, like a few letters she's mixing up. So yeah, because it's just that she's got some articulation issues and needs to figure out the right way to say letters, I'm feeling okay about it, right? Like it's, I can see a clear path ahead of us. Once I can get into a therapist, you know, I think it's going to be okay. And
yeah,
it's nice to just know instead of spending a year wondering and worrying like, oh my God, is she behind? I don't know. Should I do something? Like, that's a worse feeling than just knowing.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I'm feeling vindicated for you as well, because I feel like, yeah, you've been talking about this for so long and everyone's been telling you, no, 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 it's fine, it's fine. But, you know, moms know. I feel like that's the thing. It's like, moms know.
Yeah.
You knew. Yeah. So, good. I'm glad she's getting the help she needs or will once you can find someone to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure I'll be updating y'all with some info on that as it happens.
I have $5 on you, like, going deep on researching speech language pathology on your own and, like, trying to do the therapies on your own until you could find someone.
You totally overestimate how much energy, stamina, time I have on my hands. All right. So shall we move on to our special segment?
Yeah, let's do it.
Laura, I don't know about you, but I feel like my skin has gone through lots of changes since pregnancy and parenthood.
Oh, for sure. Our skin goes through a lot during different stages of life, whether that's melasma, dry skin, hormonal acne, or what I like to call too exhausted at the end of the day to do a skincare routine skin.
I hear ya. Well, luckily, our sponsor, OneSkin, has a simple skincare routine that even sleep-deprived parents can handle.
I've been using the topical face and eye creams, and not only is it an easy routine, it makes my skin feel healthy and refreshed.
You have been rocking that glowy look lately.
Aw, thank you. Founded by an all-woman team of scientists, OneSkin has developed a proprietary peptide called OS1 that's scientifically validated to improve the health of your skin beneath the surface.
Not only that, their products are backed by extensive lab and clinical data to validate their efficacy and safety for use at any stage in life.
For a limited time, you can try OneSkin for 15% off using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and as a busy mom, I admit I sometimes forget to prioritize my mental health. But when I do, I feel so much better. And I've realized that a big part of my mental health is finding support through my community.
Absolutely. It's easy to feel stuck in my routine or cancel plans when leaving the house and the kids feels overwhelming. But I've discovered I can find community
Allo
and support
Moves
for my
is
mental
the award-winning
health with
on-demand
Moves.
Streaming wellness platform app that has mindfulness, self-care, workouts, and more to help boost your mental and physical well-being.
When I make time for movement and mindfulness, even if it's just for a few minutes, it has such a positive impact on my day. And I love that I can connect with other users in the Allo Moves community to support and encourage each other.
Whether I'm taking a class with a friend in person or connecting with another member in the community comments, Allo Moves really brings people together. We're all just trying to find ourselves because we're all in it together.
With over 100 new classes every month, Allo Moves keeps me motivated and supported. I absolutely love the mindfulness classes. Taking time to focus on my breath and body in the present moment does so much for my well-being all day.
And when I need an energy pick-me-up before diving into the day, I love doing a 15-minute Pilates class to focus my mind and get my blood pumping.
Find yourself together when you join Allo Moves. Join the community on allomoves.com today and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial, plus enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com code BFP for 30-day free trial, plus 20% off an annual membership. allomoves.com code BFP.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Sometimes I just have a week, you know, where work and parenting and keeping up with the house all feels so overwhelming, and I just need to vent about it and get it off my chest. It's amazing how just expressing it out loud can relieve a lot of tension that has built up. We all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. I have worked through many difficult situations in therapy. It's such a great way to get perspective on your experience and learn techniques to help you cope in the moment when things get tough. If you're feeling overwhelmed, down, or stressed and would like to talk to a therapist, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, which means no driving across town to appointments, and you can easily make it work with your schedule. To get started, just fill out a quick questionnaire and you'll get matched with a therapist. If it doesn't feel like a perfect fit, you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/BFP.
Okay, we are back, and our special segment this week is checking the inbox again, where we get to the rest of the questions that we didn't have time to answer last week. So, Shauna, let's get to it. What's the first question?
All right. Mary says, I'm about to start trying to conceive for the first time. Any tips?
I'm always a person who tells people to get these like clear blue ovulation test kit strip things for when you're trying to conceive because they worked for me. You know, mileage may vary, but that's like my one practical tip. And then, you know, the other thing is, I don't know, you just never know how long it's going to take. So like do your best to chill out, right, Shauna? Like, I mean, it's the worst advice. Chill out. Like, who actually has the ability to do that? But like,
Yeah. And have lots of sex because, you know, you could get pregnant right before you ovulate, like, or just after, or, you know, so definitely have a lot of sex right around that time. And if you want, track your cycle. I think that really helps too. Like, really get to know the signs of ovulation and about when in the month you're doing it. Because if you're having a lot of sex right at the beginning of your cycle or right at the end, that's not going to be very helpful.
That's a waste of sex.
Exactly.
Okay, next question is from Elise. She asks, how do you handle toddler meltdowns and or them hitting using gentle parenting?
Oh, I've got a lot of experience with that. Woo-wee. Well, I definitely use the Janet Lansbury, Dr. Becky advice of, I will not let you do that. I won't let you hit me. I won't let you hit your sister. I can't let you hit, right? And moving them away, moving their hand away. A lot of that, that's with Cece, right? Because she's more of the hitting one because she's just turned three. And so she's more impulsive. And the meltdowns, definitely, they get to me. But I try also to do the Janet Lansbury thing of stay unruffled, right? Like just... Even though there's outer chaos, try my best to breathe deep, be unaffected, and be by her side. I think I talked recently about a Dr. Becky post that reminded me that being present when your kid is having a meltdown is actually very helpful, right? Because they don't want to be melting down and it's actually uncomfortable for them. It's scary for them to have such out of control emotions. So I try to stay unruffled and I try to stay present. And my eardrums have taken a beating over the years because I've just sat with so much screaming and so much crying during different meltdowns and tantrums. But that's how I approach it. Do you have a take on this, Laura?
I mean, mine is very similar to yours. I kind of get weird about the term gentle parenting sometimes because I feel like it can be interpreted as like being a pushover in a way or something like, like you can't raise your voice ever or do anything. Like I tend to lean towards the more like respectful parenting label if I'm putting a label on what I like to do.
Me too.
That's not to say there's anything wrong with identifying as a gentle parent, but just that's sort of how I approach it. But I do what you do. I try to be present, all that stuff. I won't let you hit me. I can't let you hit your sister. Well, in my case, brother. But the one additional thing I want to mention is that I am also trying to remember that sometimes them melting down with you is a privilege because it means that they are comfortable enough around you and trust you enough to let their like true feelings show and like view it as this is their only way to get these emotions out of their body and to just let it happen without judgment and without any kind of like exasperation. Because, you know, I feel that like when Augie's melting down because he wanted to walk up the stairs and I carried him, you know, even though I gave him a chance to walk up or whatever it was, you know, like it's always something. I'm exasperated, but then I try to like catch myself and realize that like he just needs to vent. And I get to vent by calling or texting you. You know, I get to vent by having a glass of wine or, you know, like I get to manage my emotions as an adult in all these different ways. He gets a meltdown. Like that's basically
right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's how I try to frame it and just, you know, just let it happen. Just ride the wave. Like I feel like the more you fight it, the worse it gets, honestly.
And I'm always amazed at like when it's over, it's just over. She's just like, okay. And like back to her normal self. And like nothing ever happened. So I really do think it is good for them to let all of that out. And
I do also like try to make sure that they have snacks regularly, because if they don't, if they're getting hangry, that makes it worse. So that's a practical tip.
So much worse. Yes, absolutely. Okay, Hannah asks, when were your babies less upset in car rides? Are there tricks to keeping a three-month-old happy?
Oof, yeah. Hannah, I feel like 3 months was kind of the peak of my child's discontent. I'm talking about Sebastian here in the car. Like, I remember when he was about 3 months old. This is what? Like 7 months ago, right? He was inconsolable in the car. And one thing that really helped was starting to give him toys. Like I realized I think he was bored and I had forgotten to like give him something to do in the back seat. So that was one thing. And then the other thing was like singing to him. There was lots of singing, trying to keep car trips short. And then, you know, just doing that respectful parenting thing where if we had to go somewhere and he was crying, just saying, you know, baby, I can tell you don't want to be in the car. You know, the car ride will be over really soon and I'll get you out. And so, yeah, that's about it. But I do think like I had forgotten that you were supposed to give them. Well, maybe you're not supposed to, because it's like you're not supposed to have anything in the car seat. But let's be honest, most people like have a little plush toy or something in a car seat with their kids. And once I remembered to like start giving him one again, it was like, oh, OK, he's happy again.
Oh, good. That's a good tip. When Elle was little, she did not like car rides, and Steve or I would sit back next to her all the time. Like we would commute to work. This was when she was a little bit older. We would commute down to work or daycare, and that was a long drive, and one of us would sit in the back seat with her, you know, and it's so funny that I have never once sat in the back with Cece because there's no space back there to like two kids. Like it's just so completely different. But that's how we handled it. So it's like, give them some entertainment. And that entertainment was usually mommy or daddy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Oh, next question is from Colette. And Colette wants to know, how has starting the podcast changed your lives? Good question.
Oh, that's a really good question.
Has it?
It feels so much a part of my life now that I can almost not even remember what life was before the podcast. BP. let's see.
BBFP.
Yeah. BBFP. Well, I get to talk to you in depth a lot, which is awesome. I really like that.
Ditto.
It's made me reflective of my parenting journey. I really like that I get to make notes on things that happen and talk about them instead of just forgetting them, which is what I probably did when Elle was this young. But practically speaking, like not too much else has changed other than I just make time for it. And it's just something that I really enjoy and I love it. What about you?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because for the most part, the podcast coincided with this major life change, right? So it's really hard for me to separate the difference between starting the podcast and getting pregnant and starting a family, right? Because for you, you had Elle before we did all this. So you knew what it was like to have a kid without having a podcast where you talked about it.
Yeah.
I did not. But I mean, you know, like if anyone's wondering, like we don't get stopped on the street and or anything. Yeah, it's not like anyone is recognizing us and be like, oh, my goodness, they're Laura and Shauna from BFP. So like that, you know, doesn't make much of a difference. And
but wait, didn't someone in like a yoga class or mommy and me class know who you were?
I once, when Augie was like 2 months old, went to a meetup and someone was like, oh, I've listened to a couple episodes of your podcast. Yeah. So, I mean, yes. Yeah. It did not like significantly change or alter the content of our conversation. We went back to talking about our kids.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, but I mean, from a practical standpoint, yeah, we have to make time to do this every week, which honestly, sometimes it's hard to find the time, but I'm never really like resentful of that because it's just like a very fun creative project.
Yes.
And, you know, I love that I have notes from every week of my pregnancies and my kids, you know, infancies.
Yeah.
Like, never. I'm bad at diaries. So I would have never done that without the podcast. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome.
Yeah. That's really cool.
And yeah, and it, you know, and I have to say, like, it's really fun to be able to tell people, like, I have a podcast. Like, well, in LA, everyone has a podcast.
Yes.
But then I get to say, like, oh, no, but I mean, I really have a podcast. Like, we've put out 185 episodes now, you know, and we've never missed a week. Like, we're not pretending to have a podcast.
Yeah, I feel legit. It's funny, though. I still kind of forget to tell people that. Like, when people ask me what I do, like, the first thing I think of is my day job, right? Because that's my full-time job. And I'm like, I do blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, oh, yeah. But also, I co-host a podcast. So that's cool, too.
Yeah, so it's nice to have that sense of accomplishment. And, you know, I do feel very proud of us for doing it. So that's good. Yeah. So thanks for asking, Colette.
Yeah. All right. Next question from Marjorie. Would your husbands ever do an episode? My husband is nervous to be a first-time dad.
Oh, Marjorie, not only would they, but they have done an episode.
That's right.
They came on episode 100, and then we put out a bonus episode with even more questions that our listeners had for them right after that. So please go back and listen to episode 100. I know that not everyone is like a completist and has listened to every episode, and that's totally fine. So if you missed it, episode 100, and you can hear Corey and Steve get interviewed by us somewhat reluctantly. Somewhat reluctantly.
No, I'm pretty sure Steve was very jazzed about being on the show.
Well, see, this is the difference. Steve, well, first of all, Steve is our producer, so, like, he's very into it. But, like, Steve is also a performer, right?
Yeah, right.
And Corey is a writer. Like, Corey is behind the scenes. Like, he has no interest in being an actor. He doesn't want anything to do with any of that. And so it does require a little arm twisting, but it was a really fun episode. Yeah,
it was. I think we should have them back on again sometime soon.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Okay, Abigail wants to know, oh, timely question. How do you do your presents for holidays and birthdays for your kids? How many they need versus want, etc.?
All right, this is a really good question, especially since Christmas and our kids' birthdays are all pretty close, right? Ella's in January, Cece's in December, so they're all kind of clustered together.
Clumped.
So we have a lot of
kids. Yeah, within like 8 weeks, right? So like you've got Cece, then Christmas, then Augie, then Elle, then Sebastian. Like less than 8 weeks. It's like 6 weeks, 5 weeks. It's very clumped together.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of gift giving around this time. And I definitely do fewer gifts for their birthday. I personally, I think I got Cece maybe like 2 or 3 gifts because I know she gets a lot of stuff from family members. Like she got a bunch of stuff from grandma's, grandpa, and friends from her party. So I knew she was going to be getting a lot of stuff. And same with Christmas, really. I think I got maybe like 4 gifts per kid from us, you know, and then a lot of stuff rolled in from other people. And I do things that I think will be fun for them and occupy their time and attention. That's how I strategize toys. I'm like, what will they play with that will keep them engaged? And that's how I go from there. I don't do too many gifts that they need, mostly because I have this very vivid memory of being like 5 years old and excited about Christmas and opening up a pack of underwear from like my grandma or something. And I was like embarrassed and I was what? I don't want underwear. And I was like so upset. And so I don't do that kind of thing for presents. I try to just do more like toys, books, fun things.
Yeah.
But that's just me. I don't know. What about you?
Yeah, we're pretty much the same. I mean, for Christmas this year, we're like basically just letting other people get him gifts. We didn't get him much ourselves. And the baby, like, I have parents basically got nothing for the baby because, like, what does the baby need? Like, the baby just plays with all of Augie's toys already. You know, like, it feels weird. So we kind of just let other people get stuff for them. And then We do actually have a specific, very loose rule, which is for birthdays, we ask for books. We have a birthdays are for books policy, mm-hmm. at least right now. So like we are starting to plan Augie's third birthday party. And I put on the invitation, like, no gifts are necessary, but if you feel compelled, because no one ever listens to that, you know, when you're like, no gifts.
No.
Someone, no. People bring gifts. So like you say, no gifts are necessary, but if you feel compelled, you can bring a new or used book for him because birthdays are for books.
That's cool.
And I want to make sure to include used because, like, if they have a book that they got two of, like, you don't need to go buy another book. Bring us that book. You know what I mean? Like, I'm really happy to not have to contribute to, like, more landfill waste. So, yeah, we're trying to aim for birthday books. And, you know, my mom is not following that. My mom already got him this, like... this like robot thing that I told her specifically not to get him because I think he's too young for it. So I kind of, you know, it's a very lucky and privileged position to be in where we have family and friends who are so generous and loving and give them fun gifts. But yeah, I do agree with the fun thing. Like their kids, get them something fun, you know. We can get them the sleep sacks or whatever that they need.
One other thing that I do that might be helpful to mention is that I create a gift list, like a wish list for them. My family uses this site called Giftster. There might be others like it out there. And I put a bunch of items that A, they don't have already, and B, that I think they would like, or C, things that like we've looked at together on Amazon or Target or whatever. And I'm like, oh, does this look cool to you? And they'll be like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, let's put it on your wish list. And we send them that list because they like to get ideas of what to get the kids and don't want to get something they already have, etc. So I kind of control their gifts like in that way, you know. So that's a thing we do with gifts.
You know, we tried to do that this year and it worked pretty well. I sent it to people, but they didn't know how to like claim the gifts. Like, I think I need to send instructions. Like when you choose something, either tell me what you're sending or like pull on the drop down menu and claim it because people were like, I don't know what's available. Like, I think I need to send instructions.
Oh, okay. Did you do it through Amazon or where did you do your list through?
No, Giftster. We did the same thing through Giftster. But people were like, I don't know.
Oh, I thought that if you followed the link and bought it, it automatically did that. But what do I know? I don't know.
Maybe your family is more tech savvy than mine.
Oh, or they just got lucky and didn't double up on gifts. Anyway, all right, next question. Emily says, what is the normal amount of sex to have with your partner after kids?
Whatever you're doing, like however you're doing it. So, okay, actually, to be a little more specific, we don't talk about sex a lot on this podcast because I'm kind of like, that's something I like to keep private. For me. Also, my dad used to listen, so I never wanted to talk about it on the podcast. But I did want to address this question specifically because I hate that there's this idea that there's like a normal anything postpartum, like what's the normal time to recover? What's the normal feelings I should be having after? Like everyone has a different experience and there is no normal. But I just wanted to say that, like, this specifically, I don't think there is a normal and you should just do whatever you're comfortable with, like, however frequently or however soon after postpartum you're comfortable with. Like, there's no right answer to this. And I want you to know that. And, like, also, if your partner is putting any sort of pressure on you to change your timeline or do things before you're comfortable, like, you are allowed to say no and it's your body and you can put a full stop to that. So I just want you to know that, like, just because your doctor at 6 weeks said you're like cleared to have sex or whatever, like, doesn't mean you have to. So I just wanted to make sure that was clear. Shauna, do you have any thoughts and opinions on this?
I mean, as much as your exhaustion will allow, I mean, I don't know. It's just, there's so many things that change after becoming a mom, right? Your body changes, your level of energy and your tiredness change, but still that's different for everyone too. So really, I think the key here is just having open communication with your partner and being honest about how much sex, when, what that even looks like now. Maybe it looks different. And just really being open and honest about that kind of stuff with your partner.
And, you know, I think someone else did this better than we can do it, which is the Happy as a Mother podcast in episode 14, which actually came out in November 2019. So go back and look for episode 14. It's titled Navigating Intimacy After Children. And it's a much better and more in-depth discussion about this than we can get into. So go find that, listen to that, and hopefully that'll help you.
Yeah.
Okay, so our last question for this episode is from Emma from Ontario, Canada. Hello, Emma. I love our Canadian listeners.
Yes, yes, me too.
And she was wondering, she has a six-month-old, and she asks, how have you both navigated your relationships with your partners since having kids? How do you manage to connect with your partners, especially when it can feel like everything revolves around being a parent and taking care of the baby all the time? It's been a challenge for me, at least. And I was curious what your experiences were. Shauna, this is a related question, obviously.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think that I don't know where you are at this point with your six-month-old with sleeping, but a lot of that stuff gets better once the baby starts sleeping through the night and having a set bedtime. If it weren't for me holding firm to my kids' bedtimes and trying to make it as early as possible, I don't know how close I would be to my husband, because that's the time when we're alone. The day's over, the kids are asleep, and we eat dinner together. I don't know if I've mentioned this on the show, but more often than not, we do not eat with our kids. Mm-hmm. We sit with them as they eat, right? But I make them something different. And then we eat later together. We might have a glass of wine. We watch our favorite shows together and spend a few hours together at the end of the day. And that has helped a lot, a lot, a lot. And with COVID, that's been especially important because we haven't gone out on a lot of dates, you know, and stuff like that. Haven't had as much family in town to like be babysitters, and just like things have changed a little bit. So the kind of things we were doing, like when Elle was little, we would be able to go out with friends or go on dates, or we even a couple times went to a hotel room overnight, you know, and had like a getaway. That kind of stuff is awesome and recharging and so fun and so important. So finding ways to fit that stuff in. And if that's not possible, try to do things together at the end of the day that you enjoy doing, whether or not that's watching your favorite shows you're obsessed with, or doing a puzzle, or eating dinner together, or cooking together. Those kinds of things I find are really, really helpful for staying connected.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, what you said about how it gets better once the baby is sleeping through the night is so, so true. I think, you know, at the very beginning, there's so much of those early newborn days where like no one's getting any sleep and your schedule's all over the place and your body is still recovering from however you had that baby, whether it's like, you know, vaginal or C-section or whatever, or even if you like adopted or had a surrogate, like your body is still fucked up from like just having no sleep. Mm-hmm. It can feel like you like have a roommate instead of a partner sometimes, you know, and then you get sad, or I did, because, you know, you don't want a roommate, you want a partner. And then you're like, you know, we need to make time for each other, but how? There's no time, you know, blah. So when that baby starts sleeping through the night, if they do, I know not every baby sleeps through the night, but even if you can just get longer chunks, right? Longer chunks of time, it really does make it possible to just get that quality time in. And, you know, I try to think of the love languages. I know that's like can be really problematic for, you know, there are various reasons, but like I try to think of what they are, which is quality time, acts of service, gifts, physical touch, and I'm sure there's other ones I can't remember right now, right?
Lavish vacations.
Is that your love language?
I think that's mine, yeah.
But I'm not trying to think of what, like, mine or my partner's specifically, just what they are in general, because we all, like, enjoy them all to an extent, and just try to like actively fit them in. Like, so one thing I've noticed is like, if I just, instead of sitting on the other side of the couch and knitting while we're like watching TV in the evening, if I just like scooch over and lay my head on his shoulder, like it doesn't seem like that big of a thing, but it actually does like bring you closer together. So like little things like that can really add up. So, but yeah, it's tough because especially if you're both working from home and kids, and yeah, it's a lot. So yeah, but I think, you know, also I like to remember, like, this is the hardest part. I keep telling myself that, you know, with a toddler and an infant, this is the hardest part. You know, the time to do other things will come, But now we just got to get through this time when mm-hmm. our babies need us so much, you know, and
yeah.
I'll be able to get back to Corey and I'll be able to get back to my other work and my other hobbies and stuff in time. So,
for
but
sure.
yeah, but I think that is the last question of our Check in the Inbox segment.
All right. Thank you, everyone, so much for sending in your questions. We love hearing from you so much and really appreciate you taking the time to send these to us. And now, Laura, I think it's time for us to take a break and come back with our BFPs and BFNs.
Yep, let's do it.
Okay, we're back and we're going to wrap things up with our weekly Big Fat Positives or Big Fat Negatives of the week. Laura, what do you got for us?
I have a BFP.
All right. What is it?
Okay. My BFP is something I am calling Big Mom Energy.
Ooh, okay. I like the sound of this.
And it's a frame of mind that I am adopting. And it's kind of like a revelation that I had recently that I wanted to share.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so this first came to mind the other day when I was like hanging out in my front yard with the kiddos and our neighbor, Zach, who's like the super nice guy, comes out and he starts talking to us. And it's like, I want to say like 3 o'clock in the afternoon and it's the winter. And of course, it's Southern California, so it's like 70 degrees outside. And he and a friend have like hiking clothes on and a backpack and water bottles. And, you know, we were like, hey, how's it going? He's like, oh, you know, I'd love to chat, but we're rushing off to go see if we can get to Switzer Falls before sundown. And I was like, oh, cool. You know, it's a local hike. I've done that hike. I can't tell you how many times. I also can't tell mm-hmm. you how long it's been since I've done that hike. It's been a long time. Yeah. Anyway, it's not a long hike, but it's still a hike that takes you out kind of into a little bit of wilderness nearby in the Angeles National Forest. And later that night, like after kids' bedtime, I like had this thought where I was like, oh my gosh, did Zach ever make it back? Like, I haven't seen his car come back and I don't see the lights on next door. And mm-hmm. I thought about texting him and asking. And at first I was like, that's weird. It's weird that your neighbor that you barely know is like checking in on you to see if you got back from your hike. Like he's I believe he's like 40, you know, he's like a grown ass man, right?
Uh-huh.
But then I was like, you know what? That's a mom thing to do. I'm a mom. I'm going to harness some big mom energy and text him. And so I composed a text message that was like, hey, Zach, it's your friendly neighbor mom wondering if you made it home from the hike. Okay. Just wanted to check in. Hope you're well. And sent it off. And he texted back. He was like, haha, that's great. No, I'm fine. Everything went well. We got to the falls. And I was like, oh, see, everyone's happy. I checked in and I got to like, I guess, hide behind being a mom to be like nurturing and like nosy, I guess, in a way. I don't know. Like, it's not nosy. I mean, I was like legitimately wanting to make sure he had made it back okay. But what I realized is that being a mom, especially a mom of two, I feel like there's like this legitimacy with being a mom of two. Like there's no pretending I'm not a mom. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Like there's no mm-hmm. confusion there. But I can harness big mom energy and bring it to like all aspects of my life. You know, I can
nice.
Be that nurturing, maybe overly worrying person because I'm a mom. I got big mom energy.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like it justifies some level of like worry or anxiety maybe you've always had, but now that you're a mom, like it's kind of allowed or something?
Yes, 100%. Like I've always been the person who's wanted to text and be like, just making sure you got home okay.
Uh-huh.
But it's weird when your childless friend does that, right? Like not even friend. It's weird if your childless neighbor does that. But when you're a mom, that's expected. Like, oh, she's just being
exactly.
a mom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Just imagine when you're a grandma, you're going to have like ginormous grandma mom energy. It's just going to expound over the years and be so huge.
I'm just going to be like handing out gifts to every person who walks by.
That'll probably make you really happy.
It would, except for, you know, probably would make my bank account not super happy, but
yeah.
But anyway, the reason it's my BFP is like it felt very liberating and I feel very empowered now to bring big mom energy to like all aspects of my life and possibly my wardrobe. So look out, high-waisted jeans.
Oh, nice. Nice. Gonna rock those mom jeans.
To be fair, I already rock the mom jeans.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm living that ultra high-waisted lifestyle already. But now
that's
I can feel
good.
Okay about it.
Right, exactly. You know, I'm trying to think of situations where I bring big mom energy, and it's not so much with my grown neighbors, but like other children. Like, I assume the authority and the parental, like, vibe with other children that I come across, like, instantly. Mm-hmm. Like, we have some new neighbors down the street, and they're really nice. They have a little 5-year-old son, and we'll be walking by, and I'm, like, eager to see this little kid. And I'm like, hi, how are you? Oh, my gosh, really? And just, like, you know, making him feel so good about what he's telling me about, like, random characters that he likes, mm-hmm. or whatever. And I just find myself being, like, very nurturing with other children. Like, I don't think I ever would have shown that level of interest with other kids before. And now it's just, like, coming out of me. Like, I mm-hmm. can't even handle it.
And I feel like there would almost be, like, a creep factor, right? Like, if you were childless and you were just talking with random people's kids, not that it is creepy in and of itself, but, like, you know, people would have been like, I don't know why you're talking to my kid. But you're a mom. It's like, oh, she's a mom. She's talking to my kid because she knows how to do it, you know?
Yes, exactly. Cool. Well, I can only see good things coming from us harnessing our big mom energy.
But you know what? I don't think it's a prerequisite to be an actual mom to harness the big mom energy, too. It's like a state of mind. So if you don't have kids or you're currently pregnant, like, I still think you can harness that big mom energy. You just have to, like, own it the way I am.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I think so, definitely.
Well, anyway, thank you for listening to my BFP. I am strangely, like, super stoked about this.
Nice, nice.
But anyway, what about you? Do you have a BFP or a BFN?
I have a BFP.
Oh, good.
And let me tell you, it rivals the profoundness of your big mom energy.
Whoa.
100%.
Whoa. Yes. We're dropping some bombs on this episode.
My BFP is the smart plug.
Oh, I love smart plugs. I love smart plugs.
Love smart plugs. Clearly, it's not as profound as bringing the world with your big mom energy, but I love them, and I think they're extremely useful for parents, and I can't believe I haven't spoken about them earlier.
I feel like smart plugs are very big dad energy, don't you think?
Oh, yes. The whole reason our home is totally outfitted in smart plugs is because of Steve. I think I got the first one because someone in one of my neighborhood groups was like, oh my gosh, Amazon's having a lightning deal on smart plugs. They're like $6 or something. And I was like, oh, that sounds like a good deal. I wonder what that is. And I got it. And we fell in love with it. And Steve now has them all over the house. So anyway, smart plugs are basically like plugs that are Wi-Fi enabled that you can control with your phone. You don't even have mm-hmm. to be home to control them. You can talk to them through your Alexa if you have one. And you can set timers to turn on lights and turn stuff off. It's just awesome. So here's how we use them specifically for parenting that I think mm-hmm. is pretty genius. We have one in Cece's room and one in Elle's room to, like, control their main lamp. And Elle's is programmed to turn off at 7:10 p.m. every night. Like, that's mm-hmm. lights out, like, literally lights out. So we'll be reading and the light will just cut automatically. And usually I'm like, oh, okay, you know, we're in the middle of this page. I'll turn it back on because I'm such a generous mom. Mm-hmm. I'll turn it back on and we'll read a few more pages. So I just ask the light to turn itself back on and it does. And we read a few more pages. Then I ask the light to turn itself off and it does. And I don't have to, like, crawl out of her bed and go across the room to switch off her light and stuff. And same with Cece's room, right? Like, we're cuddling at the end of book time and it's, like, so nice and cuddly. I would have to, like, withdraw myself from the cuddle, like, go across, turn off the light, and then come back. Instead, it's just like, Alexa, turn off Cece's bedroom, and boom, like, the light's out. So it's Alexa just turned off my own light in my bedroom because she heard me. I have one in my own room too. So yeah, it's really smart. We've programmed, like, all our Christmas lights outside so they mm-hmm. go on at a certain time and turn off. You save electricity. They're genius.
Yeah, so we have a number of them. We have our, like, upstairs bedroom wall lights actually plugged into two dimmable ones, which are really nice. Because mm-hmm. we bought these, like, sconces that go over our bed. But the first night we turned them on, they were like, blah, so bright.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I realized we needed to do something about that. But leaning over, it's just, we didn't know how to deal with it. And I was like, dimmable smart plugs. And it's great because you can ask your smart device, like, turn it to 50% and it'll just do that. And I can do it really quickly from my phone. And we had our like Christmas tree on it. And yeah, our downstairs lights are scheduled to like turn on a half hour before sunset and then like automatically turn off like a half hour after sunset if they're left on. We usually turn them off, but like if we're out of town or something, it's nice to have that going. So yeah, we love our smart plugs. I will say my only gripe is that they are a little finicky with how they connect to the Wi-Fi, at least the ones we have. Like we have some Wemo ones and we have some, I don't, Leviton ones. And I feel like half the time the like Alexa will work with them, but like the iPhone won't. And so sometimes it's just a little buggy. But overall, yes, very into the big dad energy of smart plugs.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, we do have the Alexa brand one, but they make cheaper ones, right? We also have some called Casa, K-A-S-A, and you can get like four for the same price as one Alexa one. So yeah, there's, you know, do some shopping around, find some budget smart plugs and outfit your home with some big dad energy.
Well, I think that's very exciting. I think that our listeners are equipped to go out into the world with whatever big energy they have.
Yes, I think so.
But I do think we need to read a 5-star review and wrap up this episode.
All right, let's do it. Okay, this one is from Darth Gnome on Apple Podcasts.
Love the username.
Yeah, that's so good. Title is, This is the Parenting Podcast You're Looking For, 5 stars. I am so glad that I found this podcast right as I was trying to conceive my second child. I have binged this wonderful podcast throughout my pregnancy, and Shauna and Laura have become my pregnancy and parenting gurus. I recommend this podcast to every new parent because it's so informative, so honest, and loads of fun. I have used so many of their parenting tips for toddlers, too. I love this podcast, and you should absolutely check it out. It's too good.
Oh, well, Darth Gnome, I feel like there's some Star Wars references going on in your review, and I appreciate it, and so does Augie. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. That's so kind, and we're so happy that you've gotten so much out of the show. Like, that's why we do it, and we really, really appreciate you taking the time to send that in. And listeners, if you also want to possibly have your review read on the show, head on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to the show and leave us a 5-star review, and we might read it on the show. Also, if you have any other burning questions for checking the inbox that you would like us to answer, please reach out. Laura, where can they reach us?
We are on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at BFP Podcast. You can also find us on our website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. And if you want to send us a voicemail or just a regular old email, send it to contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com. And finally, if you want to join the coolest group of people on the internet, just search Facebook for Big Fat Positive Community. Make sure you answer those 2 membership questions so we know you're not a robot, and we'll send you straight through to the amazing conversations we're having in there.
And if you love our show, spread the word. Let your friends, family, coworkers know about Big Fat Positive. Our show's produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.